Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki.
And I'm Cara DeFalco.
Our next guest has one of the most uniquely identifiable voices in the history of modern music. Her number one New York Times bestseller, Boys in the Trees, a memoir, is now available in paperback. Her Christmas song, The Night Before Christmas, is also now available. It is great to say hello to Carly Simon. Carly, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ed. How did you learn to talk that way?
Maybe I was just born this way, right?
I think you might have been.
Yeah.
The buoyancy that people who are in radio talk with, that is just, it must influence your personality and in the rest of your time of day.
I mean, yes.
You go out in the street and say, oh boy, look at the sunrise, look at the sun, look at that dog down
right.
The street. How are you, dog, little dog?
I drive up to McDonald's, it's like two Big Macs, a small fry, and a large chocolate shake. It's you can't help doing this wherever you go. It's unbelievable. Wow.
Do they think it's not funny, or do they expect you to do it?
They give me free food. That's what they do, Carly.
That's very good. Does your family get to hear that voice of yours, too?
Yes, all the time. I have the most eloquent way of telling my son what to do at home. It's unbelievable, you know? Yes.
My eldest sister is an opera singer, and we always used to get such a kick out of getting her to sing. Remember a song called Lollipop?
Yes.
Yes.
And she, because after years of training, she was unable to sort of come back to singing it in the normal way,
yeah.
Or come, you know, back to sounding like herself. So she would sing, we would get her to sing Lollipop, and she would sound, Lollipop, Lollipop, ooh, lolly, lolly, lolly.
I will never think of that song the same way again because of this.
Now, how would you sing Lollipop in your radio voice?
Lollipop, lollipop. Oh, lolly, lolly, lollipop. You see, it's there and it just comes out.
And Merry Christmas to you, too.
Oh,
right.
My
see,
goodness.
You and I, we need to get together. We can produce such incredible music. We are brainstorming right here. First of all, I read the book this past week. I enjoyed it so much. Boys in the Trees. Tell us why this was so important for you to write this book.
It was important for me to write it because I wanted to write a book that my kids could read and they could hear it from a slightly different standpoint of view, from a different tone, from, you know, as if my grandchildren or great grandchildren would unearth a trunk, you know, in the year 3010, and they would see what we were up to in those 1970s and 80s. So I was interested to see. I was really doing it for them. I was doing it for the kids, for my kids and my grandchildren. And then I got really interested in doing it, and I thought this is a very interesting way to kind of review myself, to see what kind of stories I have. And it's not that I had to make them into stories. They were stories. I just simply had to put them down from my head onto the paper. And I've always enjoyed playing with words and with getting just the right word to describe a certain thing, which you learn as a songwriter. You learn to really pay attention to the word selection. And writing a book is like writing a song where you don't have to stop when the chorus comes for the third time.
Right.
Keep on writing.
You say that you kept a diary since you were about 9 or 10 years old. So when you wrote the memoir and it was so personal, but this time it was for everybody to read, was it more difficult for you to really kind of put everything down on paper knowing that it was going out to the world?
No, because, well, every time I would start getting self-conscious about it, I would just go out and look into the night sky, if it wasn't too clouded over, and just look at all those stars up there, and you think, how on earth do I think I'm anything in particular, or anything special, or anything that different, or anything, you know, we're all so connected. I didn't think anything I had to say was that shocking or was that particular. It's the way I said it made it special for me because that made it mine.
It really does sound like your words. A lot of times when people decide to write the memoir, it's like, okay, here's how I grew up. Here's how my career started. Here's where I am now. There is almost a poetry to this book. I mean, the way it reads and the way there's an emotion to this book that you don't find in very many memoirs. When you finished it and you went back and you read it, were you surprised in any way as to how the book came out? Did you find it to be more cathartic, not cathartic enough? What surprised you about the whole process?
How emotional it really was, and how in the writing of it, because I wrote it in different periods of time. I mean, sometimes I would write in the mornings, sometimes I would write in the evenings. When I read it all after it was finished, and I read it on tape, because there is a version of me reading it, and I also orchestrated it, so you can get it, you can get the audio version of me reading it. And when I read it, I had to stop a number of times because I was crying, or because I was too, or I was lost in the moment of the laughter of it, or there was an emotion that when I heard myself reading the words, that really came to life.
I love a book that brings that out in you, a tear, a laugh out loud, and anything that really kind of just strikes a chord. Those, that's, for me personally, that's what I like to read.
And this book, it's got, the audio book is slightly different from the book if you read it from the shelf, because I took the liberty of just kind of saying some extra things that didn't go in the book.
You get to ad-lib a little.
Sure.
I ad-libbed, and so I wonder if other authors do that when they read their own work on tape. They probably do, because you think, I left that. I'm just going to sneak this in here. I left it out in the book, but I'm going to put it in the audiobook.
Now, to hear an audiobook read by you is quite a treat, but we've learned something in this interview already. We know that since you were so enamored of my voice, maybe it's time we think about redoing the audiobook, and I'd be willing to read it for you if we could work something out.
We could do it as a duet.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. We have just struck gold here on the radio, folks. My goodness. I've often wondered, too, who were your musical influences growing up? I mean, who did you look to as you started to kind of pattern your own career?
Well, I didn't necessarily want to have a career like anybody that I had been listening to, because I didn't really want to have a career. I didn't want to be on the stage. I didn't want to be famous, because I was always slightly in awe of that idea. But the performers and the singers and the artists that I loved were a combination of jazz people like Ella Fitzgerald and Peggy Lee, Annie Ross, and the folk singers like Joan Baez and Judy Collins, and some classical singers. There was a lot of different influences in our house, because my father was a classical pianist, and my mother loved theater music, and my two uncles were the heads of two jazz magazines. So there was everything there all the time, and there were a lot of people who would come to our house who were musicians and who would play the scores to their latest musicals, like Rodgers and Hammerstein came and played Oklahoma when it was just being written. Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And George Gershwin played Porgy and Bess for my parents, and asked my mother to sing Summertime when they had never even heard it sung by a soprano.
You were just constantly surrounded by music and talented people and performers. I mean, you really...
Yes, and I don't take any credit for that. That was purely my parents choosing to have me in their...
Right.
In their,
but that's very cool. That's great. It worked out well for you.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. It was a pretty fascinating life.
Boys in the Trees, a memoir. It's now available in paperback form as well. It is a former number one New York Times bestseller. Get it at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. Carly Simon, this has been an incredible thrill for us. Thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Well, thank you for having me, and happy Christmas to everybody out there, and happy Hanukkah, and happy whatever you believe in.
Have a wonderful day. Take care.
Thanks.
And there she goes. We learned more than anything else. I think she is just in love with my voice for whatever
she's
reason.
Totally enamored with you.
That is the most interesting start to an interview we have ever had on this program.
It absolutely is.
My goodness. I mean, I didn't know where we were going with that. I mean, she had me sing Lollipop.
Yes.
I feel as if I were to call her, she even offered a duet, me and her on the audiobook. My God, I'm ready to do it.
I'm starting to feel like my job's in jeopardy.
I was just going to say that. America Weekend, Ed Kalecki, and Carly Simon. No, she could never replace you. One shot thing. She's good doing this, but she can't do all the stuff that you can do. See, but you can't sing You're So Vain. We couldn't even get to that. I mean, there's so many questions here that I'm up all night. I'm reading this book. I read the book over two nights. I read a book in two nights.
I'm impressed by that, by the way.
Well, I've done that before. And in all seriousness, if somebody's coming on our show to push their book, I should at least know what's going on with the book. Yep. So I always try to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a fun woman.
Yes. And very cool.
I'm going out. I'm buying all her albums now. I almost feel as if I have to. I'm going to try to make contact with her. No, I'm not going to do that. We don't want to scare the hell out of her. But anyway, it was just an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And your parents were quite excited when they found out that Ms. Simon was coming on the show.
Yesterday, my mother walks into the living room. Did you know your daughter's interviewing Carly Simon tomorrow? To my father.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've been on television for years and years.
Yeah.
You've been on the radio in New York City. You've done a lot of big things in your career. But talking to Carly Simon, that was the big one. The mark of making it.
Yep, that was it.
All right, terrific. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Carrie DeFalco.
And this is America Weekend. Soon to have Carly Simon as a regular part of the show of the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
She is one of the most successful doubles players of all time, capturing 112 titles, including 21 Grand Slam wins with her partner, Martina Navratilova. So where is Pam Shriver now? Pam married former James Bond actor George Lazenby in 2002. The couple had three children, but divorced in 2008. Pam has been a commentator for ABC and CBS and is currently with ESPN. While broadcasting Wimbledon in 2010, player James Blake took exception to the volume of her courtside commentary.
I'm just surprised James Blake has like a full James just yelled at me. I'm way above the court, but evidently he can hear me. He's got rabbit ears.
Quiet down, Pam. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute's 280-degree switchbacks. All but the most experienced wrenches detest having to wire a set of Z-bars. Still, we're doubling the height and pullback of our old set. Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. After hours of staring at internet sites, we still couldn't find a true motorcycle Z-bar other than those identical to what we have. JP Cycles catalog as a last resort found a good looking set, twice the rise, twice the pullback of a set we've been running for years. Just what the doctor ordered for a reasonable buck and a half. Tall, fresh Z-bars along with the longer front fork tubes will really set the chopper off. Build in progress at AmericanBikerMinute.com. American Biker Minute, your passport to the old road.